knowing he was deliberately provoking me. The cadence of his raspy voice was perfectly timed with the relentless surging of his hips.
"You're torturing me."
"Good things come to those who wait." His tongue traced the shell of my ear, and then dipped inside at the same moment he tugged on my nipples. I bucked into his next thrust and nearly came. Gideon knew my body so well, knew all its secrets and erogenous zones. He was expertly stroking his cock inside me, rubbing over and over the tender bundle of nerves that quivered in delight. Rolling his hips, he screwed into me, exploiting other spots. I made a plaintive sound, on fire for him, desperately infatuated. My fingers cramped with the grip I had on my pillow, my head thrashing against the driving need to orgasm. He could get me there just by rubbing inside me. The only man who'd ever been skilled enough to give me an intense vaginal orgasm.
"Don't come," he repeated, his voice hoarse. "Make it last."
"I can't. It feels too good. God, Gideon."
Tears leaked out of the corners of my eyes.
"I'm lost in you,"
I cried softly, afraid to say the other L word too soon and risk upsetting the delicate balance between us.
"Oh, Ava,"
he rubbed his cheek against my damp face.
"I must have wished for you so hard and so often. You had no choice but to come true."
"Please,"
I begged softly.
"Slow down."
Gideon lifted his head to look at me, choosing that moment to pinch my nipples with just enough force to inflict a hint of pain. The tender muscles inside me clenched down so hard that his next thrust caused him to groan.
"Please,"
I pleaded again, trembling with the effort to stave off my building climax.
"I'm going to come if you don't slow down."
His gaze was hot on my face, his hips still lunging in a measured tempo that was slowly stealing my sanity.
"Don't you want to come, Ava?"
he purred in that voice that could lure me into hell with a dreamy smile.
"Isn't that what you've been working toward all night?"
My neck arched as his lips drifted across my throat.
"Only when you say I can,"
I gasped.
"Only when you say..."
"Angel."
One hand moved to my face, brushing back the strands of hair that clung to the perspiration on my skin. He kissed me deeply, reverently, licking deep into my mouth.
"Yes. Come for me," he coaxed, quickening his pace. "Come, Ava."
On command, the orgasm struck me like a blow, shocking my system with an overload of sensation. Wave after wave of pulsing heat rolled through me, contracting my sex and tightening my core. I cried out, first with an inarticulate sound of agonized pleasure, then with his name, chanting it over and over as he drove his beautiful cock into me, prolonging my climax, before pushing me into another one.
"Touch me," he rasped as I fell apart beneath him. "Hold me."
Freed from his command to hold the pillow, I bound him to my sweat-slick body with arms and legs. He pounded deep and hard, driving strenuously toward his climax. He came with a growl, his head thrown back as he spurted into me for long minutes. I held him until our bodies cooled and our breathing evened. When Gideon finally rolled off me, he didn't go far. He wrapped himself around my back and whispered,
"Sleep now."
I don't remember if I stayed awake long enough to reply. Chapter 18. Monday mornings could be awesome when they began with Gideon Cross. We rode to work with my back propped against his side, and his arm slung over my shoulder so that his fingers could link with mine. As he toyed with the ring he'd given me, I kicked out my legs and eyed the classic nude heels he'd bought me along with some outfits to wear on the occasions I slept over. To start out the new week, I'd decided on a black pinstriped sheath dress with a thin blue belt that reminded me of his eyes. He had excellent taste. I had to give him that. Unless he was sending one of his brunette acquaintances out on buying sprees? I pushed the unpleasant thought aside. When I'd checked out the drawers he had set aside for me in his bathroom, I found all of my usual cosmetics and toiletries and all my usual shades. I didn't bother to ask how he knew, which might have led to me freaking out. Instead, I chose to look at it as more proof of his attentiveness. He thought of everything. The highlight of my morning had been helping Gideon dress in one of his seriously sexy suits. I'd buttoned his shirt. He'd tucked it into his pants. I'd fastened his fly. He had knotted his tie. He'd shrugged into his vest. I'd smoothed the finely tailored material over his equally fine shirt, amazed to find that it could be just as sexy putting clothes on him as it was to take them off. It was like wrapping my own gift. The world would see the beauty of the packaging. But only I knew the man inside it and how precious he was. His intimate smiles and his deep, husky laugh, the gentleness of his touch, and the ferocity of his passion were all reserved for me. The Bentley bounced lightly over a pothole in the road, and Gideon tightened his hold.
"What's the plan after work?"
"I get to start my Krav Maga classes today." I couldn't keep the excitement out of my voice.
"Ah, that's right."
His lips brushed over my temple.
"You know I'm going to have to watch you go through drills. Just thinking about it makes me hard."
"Didn't we already establish that everything makes you hard?" I teased, nudging him with my elbow.
"Everything about you. Which is lucky for us, since you're insatiable. Text me when you're done, and I'll meet you at your place."
Digging in my purse, I pulled out my smartphone to see if it still had a charge, and saw a message from Carrie. I opened it, and found a video, plus a text.
"Does X know his bro is a douche? Stay away from CV, baby girl. Smooches."
I started the playback, but it took me a minute to figure out what I was seeing. When comprehension set in, I froze.
"What is it?"
Gideon asked, with his lips in my hair. Then he stiffened behind me, which told me he was looking over my shoulder. Carrie had filmed the video at the Vidal's garden party. From the 8-foot-high hedges in the background, he was in the maze, and from the leaves framing the screen, he was in hiding. The star of the show was a couple locked in a passionate embrace. The woman was beautifully teary, while the man kissed over her frantic words and soothed her with gentle strokes of his hands. They were talking about me and Gideon, talking about how I was using my body to get my hands on his millions.
"Don't worry," Christopher crooned to a distraught Magdalena. "You know Gideon gets bored fast."
"He's different with her. I think he loves her."
He kissed her forehead.
"She's not his type."
The fingers I had linked with Gideon's tightened. As we watched, Magdalena's demeanor slowly changed. She began to nuzzle into Christopher's touch, her voice softening, her mouth seeking. To an observer, it was clear he knew her body well. Where to pet and where to rub. When she responded to his skilled seduction, he lifted her dress and fucked her. That he was taking advantage of her was obvious. It was there in the contemptuously triumphant look on his face as he screwed her until she was limp. I didn't recognize the Christopher on the screen, his face, his posture, his voice. It was like he was a different man. I was grateful when my smartphone battery died and the screen abruptly winked off. Gideon wrapped his arms around me.
"Yuck," I whispered,
snuggling carefully into him so I didn't get makeup on his lapel. Majorly creepy. I feel bad for her. He exhaled harshly.
That's Christopher.
Asshole. That smug look on his face? Ugh. I shuddered. Pressing his lips to my hair, he murmured,
I thought Maggie would be safe from him. Our mothers have known each other for years. I forget how much he hates me.
Why? I wondered briefly if the nightmares Gideon had were related to Christopher, then put the thought aside. No way. Gideon was older by several years and tougher all the way around. He'd kick Christopher's ass.
He thinks I got all the attention when we were younger, Gideon said wearily, because everyone was worried about how I was handling my father's suicide. So, he wants what's mine. Everything he can get his hands on.
I turned into him, pushing my arms underneath his jacket to get closer. There was something in his voice that made me hurt for him. His family home was a place he said haunted his nightmares, and he was terribly distant from his family. He'd never been loved. It was as simple and as complicated as that. Gideon? I pulled back to look at him. Reaching up, I traced the bold arch of his brow. I love you. A violent shudder moved through him, one hard enough to shake me, too. I don't mean to freak you out, I reassured him quickly, averting my face to give him some privacy. You don't have to do anything about it. I just didn't want another minute to go by without you knowing how I feel. You can tuck it away now. One of his hands gripped my nape. The other dug almost painfully into my waist. Gideon held me there, immobile, locked against him as if I might blow away. His breathing was ragged, his heartbeat pounding. He didn't say another word the rest of the ride to work, but he didn't let me go either. I planned on telling him again one day in the future. But as far as first times went, I thought we'd both done okay. At 10 o'clock sharp, I had 2 dozen long-stemmed red roses delivered to Gideon's office with the note, in celebration of red dresses and limo rides. 10 minutes later, I received an inter-office envelope with a note card that read, Let's do that again. Soon. At 11 o'clock, I had a black-and-white calla lily arrangement delivered to his office with the note. In honor of black-and-white garden party dresses and being dragged into libraries. 10 minutes later, I received his reply, I'll be dragging you to the floor in a minute. At noon, I went shopping. Ring shopping. I hit 6 different shops before I found a piece that struck me as being absolutely perfect. Made of platinum, engraved and studded with black diamonds, it was an industrial-looking ring that made me think of power and bondage. It was a dominant ring, very bold and masculine. I had to open a new charge account with the store to cover the hefty cost, but I considered the months of payments ahead of me worth it. I called Gideon's office and talked with Scott, who helped me arrange a 15-minute window in Gideon's packed day for me to stop by. Thank you so much for your help, Scott.
You're very welcome. I've enjoyed watching him receive your flowers today. I don't think I've ever seen him smile like that.
A warm rush of love flowed through me. I wanted to make Gideon happy. As he'd said, I lived for it. I went back to work with a smile of my own. At 2 o'clock, I had a tiger lily arrangement delivered to Gideon's office, followed by a private note sent via inter-office envelope. In gratitude for all the jungle sex. His reply? Skip the Krav Maga. I'll give you a workout. When 3:40 rolled around, 5 minutes before my appointment with Gideon, I got nervous. I stood up from my chair on shaky legs and paced in the elevator on the way up to his floor. Now that the time had come to give him my gift, I worried that maybe he didn't like rings. After all, he didn't wear any. Was it too presumptuous and possessive of me to want him to wear one just because I did? The red-headed receptionist didn't give me any trouble getting in when Scott spotted me emerging from the hallway. He stood from his desk and greeted me with a wide grin. When I stepped into Gideon's office, Scott closed the door behind me. I was immediately struck by the lovely fragrance of the flowers and the way they warmed the starkly modern office. Gideon looked up from his monitor, his brows lifting when he saw me. He pushed fluidly to his feet.
"Ava, is something wrong?"
I watched him shift gears from professional to personal, his gaze softening as he looked at me. "No, it's just..." I took a deep breath and went to him. "I have something for you."
"More? Did I forget a special occasion?"
I set the ring box down in the center of his desk. Then I turned away, feeling queasy. I seriously doubted the wisdom of my impetuous gift. It seemed like a stupid idea now. What could I say to absolve him of guilt for not wanting it? As if it weren't bad enough, I'd drop the L-bomb on him today. Then I had to follow it up with a damned ring. He was probably feeling the ball and chain already, dragging after him as he ran. And, the noose tightening, I heard the ring box snap open, and Gideon's sharply drawn breath.
"Ava."
His voice was dark and dangerous. I turned carefully, wincing at the austerity of his features and the starkness of his gaze. His hands were white-knuckled on the box.
"Too much?" I asked hoarsely.
"Yes."
He set the box down and rounded the desk.
"Too damned much. I can't sit still. I can't concentrate. I can't get you out of my head. I'm fucking restless, and I never am when I'm at work. I'm too busy. But you have me under siege."
I knew damn well how demanding his work had to be, yet I hadn't taken that into consideration when the mood to surprise him, again and again, hit me. "I'm sorry, Gideon. I wasn't thinking." He approached with a sexy stride that hinted at how great he was in the sack.
"Don't be sorry. Today has been the best day of my life."
"Really?"
I watched him slide the ring onto his right ring finger.
"I wanted to please you. Does it fit? I had to guess."
"It's perfect. You're perfect."
Gideon caught up my hands and kissed my ring, then watched as I repeated the gesture with his.
"What you make me feel, Ava. It hurts."
My pulse leaped. "Is that bad?"
"It's wonderful."
He cupped my face, his ring cool against my cheek. He kissed me passionately, his lips demanding against mine, his tongue thrusting with wicked skill into my mouth. I wanted more, but restrained myself, thinking that I'd already gone overboard enough for one day. Plus, he'd been too distracted by my unexpected appearance to frost the glass wall to give us privacy.
"Tell me again what you said in the car," he whispered.
I don't know."
I brushed my free hand over his vest. I was afraid to tell him again that I loved him. He'd taken it hard the first time, and I wasn't sure he'd fully taken in what it meant for us. For him. "You're ridiculously handsome, you know. It's a sucker punch every time I see you. Anyway, I don't want to risk scaring you away." Leaning toward me, he touched his forehead to mine.
"You regret what you said, don't you? All the flowers, the ring."
"Do you really like it?" I asked anxiously, pulling back to study his face and see if he was hedging on the truth. "I don't want you to wear it for me if you hate it." His fingers traced the shell of my ear.
"It's perfect. It's how you see me. I'm proud to wear it."
I loved that he got it. Of course, that was because he got me.
"If you're trying to soften the blow of taking back what you said," he began,
his gaze betraying a surprising anxiety. I couldn't resist the soft plea in his eyes. I meant every word, Gideon.
I'll make you say it again,
he threatened, in a seductive purr.
You'll scream it by the time I'm done with you.
I grinned and backed away. Get back to work, fiend.
I'll give you a lift home at 5.
He watched me move to the door.
I want your cunt naked and wet when you come down to the car. If you touch yourself to get there, don't make yourself come, or there will be consequences.
Consequences? A little shiver moved through me, but it carried a level of fear I could deal with. I trusted Gideon to know just how far to push me. Will you be hard and ready? A wry smile twisted his lips.
When am I not with you? Thank you for today, Ava. Every minute of it.
I blew him a kiss and watched his eyes darken. The look on his face stayed with me the rest of the day. It was 6 o'clock before I made it back to my apartment in a state of well-fucked dishevelment. I'd known what I was in for when I found Gideon's limousine at the curb after work instead of the Bentley. He'd damn near tackled me as I climbed into the back, then proceeded to demonstrate his phenomenal oral skills before nailing me into the seat with vigorous enthusiasm. I was grateful that I kept in shape. Otherwise, Gideon's insatiable sexual appetite combined with his seemingly endless stamina might have exhausted me by now. Not that I was complaining, just an observation. Clancy was already waiting for me in the lobby of my apartment building when I came rushing in. If he noted my hideously wrinkled dress, flushed cheeks, and messy hair, he didn't point it out. I changed swiftly upstairs, and we took off for Parker's studio. I hoped the orientation would start out easy because my legs were still a bit jellied from 2 toe-curling orgasms. By the time we arrived at the converted warehouse in Brooklyn, I was excited and ready to learn. About a dozen students were engaged in various exercises, with Parker overseeing and offering encouragement from the edge of the mats. When he saw me, he came over and directed me to a far corner of the sparring area where we could work one-on-one. So, how's it going? I asked, to break my own tension. He smiled, showing off a very interesting and arresting face. Nervous? A little. We're going to work on your physical strength and stamina, as well as your awareness. I'm also going to start training you not to freeze or hesitate in unexpected confrontations. Before we began, I thought I had pretty good physical strength and stamina, but I learned both could be better. We started out with a brief introduction to the equipment and layout of the space, and then moved on to an explanation of both fighting and neutral, passive stances. We warmed up with basic bodyweight calisthenics, then progressed to tagging, where we tried to tag each other's shoulders and knees while standing face-to-face and blocking counter moves. Parker was amazing at tagging, of course, but I started to get the hang of it. The majority of the time, however, was spent covering groundwork, and I really sank my teeth into that. I knew very well what it was like to be down and at a disadvantage. If Parker noted my underlying vehemence, he didn't comment on it. When Gideon showed up at my apartment later that evening, he found me soaking my aching body in my bathtub. Although I could tell he was fresh from a shower after his own workout with his personal trainer, he stripped and slid into the bath behind me, cradling me with his arms and legs. I whimpered as he rocked me.
That good, huh?
He teased, catching my earlobe in his teeth. Who knew rolling around for an hour with a hot guy could be so exhausting? Carrie had been right about Krav Maga causing bruises. I could see a few shadows blooming beneath my skin already, and we hadn't even gotten to the hard stuff yet.
I might be jealous, Gideon murmured, squeezing my breasts, if I didn't know Smith was married with children.
I snorted at yet another tidbit of knowledge he shouldn't know. Do you also know his shoe and hat sizes?
Not yet.
He laughed at my exasperated growl, and I couldn't hold back a smile at hearing the rare sound. One day soon we were going to have to talk about his obsession with information gathering. But today wasn't the day to get into it. We'd been at odds too much lately, and Carrie's warning about making sure we had as much fun as not was ever present in my mind. Playing with the ring on Gideon's finger, I told him about the conversation I'd had with my dad on Saturday, and how his fellow cops had been ribbing him over the gossip about me dating the Gideon Cross. He sighed.
I'm sorry.
Turning, I faced him. It's not your fault, your news. You can't help being insanely attractive.
One of these days, he said dryly, I'll figure out whether my face is a curse or not.
Well, if my opinion counts for anything, I'm rather fond of it. Gideon's lips twitched, and he touched my cheek.
Your opinion is the only one that means anything. And your dad's. I want him to like me, Ava. Not think I'm exposing his daughter to invasions of her privacy.
You'll win him over. He just wants me to be safe and happy. He visibly relaxed and pulled me closer.
Do I make you happy?
Yes. I rested my cheek over his heart. I love being with you. When we're not together, I wish we were.
You said you didn't want to fight anymore,
he murmured in my hair.
It's been bugging me. Are you getting tired of me fucking up all the time?
You do not fuck up all the time. And I've screwed up too. Relationships are hard, Gideon. Most of them don't have kick-ass sex like we do. I put us in the lucky column. He cupped water in his hand and poured it down my back, over and over, soothing me with its sinuous warmth.
I don't really remember my dad.
Oh? I tried to not tense up and reveal my surprise, or my agitated excitement and desperate hunger to learn more about him. He'd never talked about his family before. It killed me not to prod with questions, but I didn't want to push if he wasn't ready. His chest lifted and fell on a deep exhale. There was something in the sound of his sigh that brought my head up and ruined my intention to be cautious. I ran my hand over his hard pectorals. Want to talk about what you do remember?
Just impressions. He wasn't around much. He worked a lot. I guess I get my drive from him.
Maybe workaholism. Is that a word? It is something you have in common. But that's it.
How would you know?
He shot back, defiant. Reaching up, I brushed the hair back from his face. I'm sorry, Gideon, but your father was a fraud who took the easy, selfish way out. You don't have it in you to be that way.
Not that way, no.
He paused.
But I don't think he ever learned how to connect to people, how to care about anything but his own immediate needs.
I studied him. Do you think that describes you?
I don't know,
he answered quietly. Well, I know, and it doesn't. I pressed a kiss to the tip of his nose. You're a keeper.
I better be.
His arms tightened around me.
I can't think about you with someone else, Ava. Just the idea of another man seeing you the way I do, seeing you like this, putting his hands on you, it takes me to a dark place.
It's not going to happen, Gideon. I knew how he felt. I wouldn't be able to bear it if he was intimate with another woman.
You've changed everything for me. I couldn't stand losing you.
I hugged him. The feeling's mutual. Tilting my head back, Gideon took my mouth in a fierce kiss. In moments, it became clear we were soon going to be sloshing water all over the floor. I pulled away. I need to eat if you want to go at it again, fiend.
says the girlfriend, rubbing her wet, naked body all over me.
He sat back with a sinful smile. Let's order cheap Chinese and eat it out of the box with chopsticks.
Let's order good Chinese and do that.
Chapter 19. Carrie joined us in the living room for excellent Chinese, a sweet plum wine, and Monday night television. As we flipped channels and laughed over the hilarious names of some reality television shows, I watched as two of the most important men in my life enjoyed some relaxation time and each other. They got along well, ribbing and playfully insulting each other in that way men had. I'd never seen that side of Gideon before, and I loved it. While I hogged one whole side of our sectional sofa, the two guys sat cross-legged on the floor and used the coffee table as a dining table. Both were wearing loose sweatpants and fitted t-shirts, and I appreciated the view. Was I a lucky girl or what? Cracking his knuckles, Carrie dramatically prepared to open his fortune cookie.
Let's see. Will I be rich? Famous? About to meet Mr. or Ms. Tall, Dark, and Tasty? Traveling to distant lands? What do you guys get?
Mine's lame, I said. In the end, all things will be known.
Duh, I didn't need a fortune to figure that out.
Gideon opened his and read,
Prosperity will knock on your door soon. I snorted.
Carrie shot me a look. I know, right? You snatched someone else's cookie, Cross.
He better not be anywhere near someone else's cookie, I said dryly. Reaching over, Gideon plucked half of mine out of my fingers.
Don't worry, Angel. Your cookie is the only one I want.
He popped it in his mouth with a wink.
Gag, Carrie muttered. Get a room.
He cracked his fortune with a flourish, and then scowled.
What the fuck?
I leaned forward. What's it say?
Confucius say, Gideon ad-libbed. Man with hand in pocket feel cocky all day.
Carrie threw half his cookie at Gideon, who caught it deftly and grinned. Give me that. I snatched the fortune out from between Carrie's fingers and read it, then laughed.
Fuck you, Ava!
Well? Gideon prodded.
Pick another cookie. Gideon smiled.
Pwned by a fortune.
Carrie threw the other half of his cookie. I was reminded of similar evenings spent with Carrie when I was attending SDSU, which made me try to picture what Gideon had been like in college. From the articles I'd read, I knew he'd attended Columbia for his undergraduate studies, then left to focus on his expanding business interests. Had he associated with the other students? Did he go to frat parties, screw around, and/or drink too much? He was such a controlled man that I had a hard time picturing him that carefree. And yet here he was being exactly that with me and Carrie. He glanced at me then, still smiling, and my heart turned over in my chest. He looked his age for once, young and seriously fine and so very normal. At that moment, we were just a 20-something couple relaxing at home with a roommate and a remote control. He was just my boyfriend, hanging out. It was all so sweet and uncomplicated, and I found the illusion a poignant one. The intercom buzzed, and Carrie leaped to his feet to answer it. He glanced at me with a smile.
Maybe it's Trey.
I held up a hand with my fingers crossed, but when Carrie answered the door a few minutes later, it was the leggy blonde from the other night who came in.
Hey,
she said, taking in the remnants of dinner on the table. She eyed Gideon appraisingly as he politely unfolded and stood in that powerfully graceful way of his. She shot me a smirk, then unleashed a dazzling supermodel smile on Gideon and held out her hand.
Tatiana Sherlin.
He shook her hand.
Ava's boyfriend.
My brows lifted at his introduction. Was he protecting his identity? Or his personal space? Either way, I liked his response. Carrie came back into the room with a bottle of wine and two glasses.
Come on, he said, gesturing down the hallway to his bedroom. Tatiana gave a little wave and preceded Carrie out. I mouthed behind her back to Carrie, "What are you doing?" He winked and whispered,
"Picking another cookie."
Gideon and I called it a night shortly after and headed to my room. As we got ready for bed, I asked him something I'd wondered about earlier. "Did you have a fuck pad in college, too?" His t-shirt cleared his head.
"Excuse me?"
"You know, like the hotel room. You're a randy guy. I just wondered if you'd had some kind of setup even then." He was shaking his head as I ogled his divinely perfect torso and lean hips.
"I've had as much sex since I met you as I've had in the last 2 years combined."
"No way."
"I work hard, and I work out harder, both of which keep me pleasantly exhausted most of the time. Occasionally, I might have gotten an offer I didn't refuse, but otherwise I could take or leave sex until I met you."
"Bullshit." I found that impossible to believe. He shot me a look before he headed toward the bathroom with a black leather toiletry bag.
"Keep doubting me, Ava. See what happens."
"What?" I followed him, enjoying the sight of his delectable ass. "You're going to prove that you can take or leave sex by doing me again?"
"It takes two."
He opened his bag and pulled out a new toothbrush that he extricated from its packaging and dropped into my toothbrush holder.
"You've initiated sex between us as much as I have. You need the connection as much as I do."
"You're right, it's just..."
"Just what?"
He pulled open a drawer, frowned at finding it full, and moved on to pull open another. "Other sink," I said, smiling at his presumption that he would get drawers in my place, too, and his scowl when he couldn't find them. "They're all yours." Gideon moved over to the second sink and began unpacking his bag into the drawers.
"Just what?"
he repeated, taking shampoo and body wash over to my shower. Leaning my hip into the sink and crossing my arms, I watched him stake his claim all over my bathroom. There was no doubt that was what he was doing, just as there was no doubt that anyone walking into the room would know right away there was a man in my life. It struck me then that I had a similar claim on his private space. His household staff had to know their boss was in a committed relationship now. The thought gave me a little thrill. "I was thinking about you in college earlier," I went on, "when we were eating dinner, imagining what it would be like to see you around on campus. I would have been obsessed with you. I would have gone out of my way to see you around just to enjoy the view. I would have tried to get in the same classes as you so I could daydream during lectures about getting into your pants."
"Sex maniac."
He kissed the tip of my nose as he passed me and went to brush his teeth.
"We both know what would have happened once I saw you."
I brushed my hair and teeth, then washed my face. "So, did you have a sex pad for the rare occasion some lucky bitch got you in bed?" His gaze caught my soapy reflection in the mirror.
"I've always used the hotel."
"That's the only place you've had sex? Before me?"
"The only place I've had consensual sex," he said quietly. "Before you."
Oh. My heart broke. I walked over to him, hugging him from behind. I rubbed my cheek against his back. We went to bed and wrapped ourselves around each other. I buried my face in his neck and breathed him in, snuggling. His body was hard, yet it was wonderfully comfortable against mine. He was so warm and strong, so powerfully male. I only had to think of him to want him. I slid my leg over his hips and rose above him, my hand splayed atop the ridges of his abdomen. It was dark. I couldn't see him. But I didn't need to. As much as I loved that face of his, the one he resented at times, it was the way he touched me and murmured to me that really got to me. As if there were no one else in the world for him. Nothing he wanted more.
Gideon.
I didn't need to say anything else.
Sitting up, he wrapped his arms around me and kissed me deeply. Then he rolled me beneath him and made love to me with a tender possessiveness that rocked me to the soul. I woke with a jolt of surprise. A heavy weight crushed me, and a harsh voice spit ugly, nasty words into my ear. Panic gripped me, cutting off my air. Not again. No. Please, no. My stepbrother's hand covered my mouth, and he yanked my legs apart. I felt the hard thing between his legs poking blindly, trying to push into my body. My scream was muffled by his palm, smashed over my lips, and I cringed away, my heart pounding so hard I thought it would burst. Nathan was so heavy and strong. I couldn't buck him off. I couldn't shove him away. Stop it! Get off me! Don't touch me! Oh, God, please don't do that to me! Not again! Where was Mama? Mama! I screamed, but Nathan's hand covered my mouth. It pressed down on me, squashing my head into the pillow. The more I fought, the more excited he became, panting like a dog. He rammed against me over and over, trying to shove himself inside me.
You're going to know what it feels like.
I froze. I knew that voice. I knew it wasn't Nathan's. Not a dream. Still a nightmare. God, no. Blinking madly in the darkness, I struggled to see. The blood was roaring through my ears. I couldn't hear. But I knew the smell of his skin, knew his touch, even when it was cruel, knew the feel of his body on mine, even as it tried to invade me. Gideon's erection battered into the crease of my thigh. Panicked, I heaved upward with all my strength, his hand on my face dislodged. Sucking air into my lungs, I screamed. His chest heaved as he growled,
"Not so neat and tidy when you're the one getting fucked."
"Crossfire!" I gasped. A flash of light from the hallway blinded me, followed by the blessed removal of Gideon's smothering weight. Rolling to my side, I sobbed, my eyes streaming tears that blurred my view of Carrie shoving Gideon across the room and into the wall, denting the drywall.
"Ava, are you okay?"
Carrie turned on the bedside light, cursing when he saw me curled in a fetal position, rocking violently. When Gideon straightened, Carrie rounded on him.
"Move one fucking muscle before the cops get here and I'll beat you to a bloody pulp."
Swallowing past my burning throat, I pushed up to a seated position. My gaze locked with Gideon's, and I watched the haze of sleep leave his eyes, replaced by a dawning horror.
"Dream,"
I choked out, catching Carrie's arm as he reached for the phone.
"He's dreaming."
Carrie glanced at where Gideon crouched naked on the floor like a wild animal. Carrie's arm dropped back to his side.
"Jesus Christ," he breathed, "and I thought I was fucked up."
Sliding off the bed, I stood on shaky legs, sick with lingering fear. My knees gave out, and Carrie caught me, lowering to the floor with me and holding me as I cried.
"I'm gonna crash on the couch."
Carrie ran a hand through his sleep-mussed hair and leaned into the hallway wall. The door to my bedroom was open behind me and Gideon was inside, looking pale and haunted.
"I'll set out some blankets and pillows for him, too. I don't think he should go home alone. He's shredded."
"Thanks, Carrie." The arms I had wrapped around my middle tightened. "Is Tatiana still here?"
"Hell no. It's not like that. We just fuck."
"What about Trey?" I asked quietly, my mind already drifting back to Gideon.
"I love Trey. I think he's the best person I've ever met aside from you."
He bent forward and kissed my forehead.
"And what he doesn't know won't hurt him. Stop worrying about me and take care of you."
I looked up at him, my eyes swimming in tears. "I don't know what to do." Carrie sighed, his green eyes dark,
and serious. I think you need to decide if you're in over your head, baby girl. Some people can't be fixed. Look at me. I've got a great guy, and I'm giving it to a girl I can't stand.
Carrie.
Reaching out, I touched his shoulder. He caught my hand and squeezed it.
I'm here if you need me.
Gideon was zipping up his duffel bag when I returned to my room. He looked at me, and fear slithered in my gut. Not for me, but for him. I'd never seen anyone look so desolate, so utterly broken. The bleakness in his beautiful eyes frightened me. There was no life in him. He was gray as death with deep shadows in all the angles and planes of his breathtaking face.
What are you doing?
I whispered. He backed up, as if he wanted to be as far away from me as he could get.
I can't stay.
It worried me that I felt a surge of relief at the thought of being alone. We agreed. No running.
That was before I attacked you, he snapped,
showing the first sign of spirit in over an hour. You were unconscious.
You're not going to be a victim ever again, Ava. My God, what I almost did to you.
He turned his back to me, his shoulders hunched in a way that scared me as much as the attack had. If you leave, we lose, and our pasts win. I saw my words hit him like a blow. Every light in my room was on, as if electricity alone could banish all the shadows on our souls. If you give up now, I'm afraid it'll be easier for you to stay away, and for me to let you. We'll be over, Gideon.
How can I stay? Why would you want me to?
Turning around, he looked at me with such longing, it brought fresh tears to my eyes.
I'd kill myself before I hurt you.
Which was one of my fears. I had a difficult time picturing the Gideon I knew, the dominant, willful force of nature, taking his own life. But the Gideon standing before me was an entirely different person. And he was the child of a suicidal parent. My fingers plucked at the hem of my t-shirt.
You'd never hurt me.
You're afraid of me, he said hoarsely. I can see it on your face. I'm afraid of me. Afraid of sleeping with you and doing something that will destroy us both.
He was right. I was afraid. Dread chilled my stomach. Now I knew the explosive violence in him, the festering fury. And we were so impassioned with each other. I'd slapped his face at the garden party, lashing out physically when I never did that. It was the nature of our relationship to be lusty and emotional, earthy and raw. The trust that held us together also opened us up to each other in ways that made us both vulnerable and dangerous. And it would get worse before it got better. He shoved a hand through his hair.
Ava,
I love you, Gideon.
God! He looked at me with something that resembled disgust. Whether it was directed at me or himself, I didn't know.
How can you say that?
Because it's the truth.
You just see this.
He gestured at himself with a wave of his hand.
You're not seeing the fucked up, broken mess inside.
I inhaled sharply. You can say that to me? When you know I'm fucked up and broken too?
Maybe you're wired to go for someone who's terrible for you, he said bitterly.
Stop it. I know you're hurting, but lashing out at me is only going to make you hurt worse. I glanced at the clock and saw it was 4 in the morning. I walked toward him, needing to get past my fear of touching him and being touched by him. He held up a hand as if to hold me off.
I'm going home, Ava.
Sleep on the couch here. Don't fight me about this, Gideon, please. I'll worry myself sick if you go.
You'll be more worried if I stay.
He stared at me, looking lost and angry and filled with terrible yearning.
His eyes pleaded with me for forgiveness, but he wouldn't accept it when I tried to give it to him. I went to him and took his hand, fighting back the surge of apprehension that hit me when we touched. My nerves were still raw, my throat and mouth still sore. The memory of his attempts at penetration, so like Nathan's, still too fresh.
We'll get through this.
I promised him, hating that my voice quavered. You'll talk to Dr. Peterson and we'll go from there. His hand lifted as if to touch my face.
If Carrie hadn't been here.
He was, and I'll be fine. I love you. We'll get past this. I walked into him, hugging him, pushing my hands beneath his shirt to touch his bare skin. We're not going to let the past get in the way of what we have. I wasn't sure which of us I was trying to convince.
Ava.
His returning hug squeezed all of the air out of me.
I'm sorry. It's killing me. Please.
Forgive me.
I can't lose you.
You won't. My eyes closed, focusing on the feel of him, the smell of him, remembering that I once feared nothing when I was with him.
I'm so sorry.
His shaking hand stroked the curve of my spine.
I'll do anything.
Shh.
I love you. We'll be okay. Turning his head, he kissed me softly.
Forgive me, Ava. I need you. I'm afraid of what I'll become if I lose you.
I'm not going anywhere. My skin tingled beneath the restless glide of his hands on my back. I'm right here. No more running. He paused, his breath gusting harshly against my lips. Then he tilted his head and sealed his mouth over mine. My body responded to the gentle coaxing of his kiss. I arched into him without volition, pulling him closer. He cupped my breasts in his hands, kneading them, circling the pads of his thumbs over my nipples until they peaked and ached. I moaned with a mixture of fear and hunger, and he quivered at the sound.
Ava?
I can't.
The memory of how I'd woken up was too fresh in my mind. It hurt me to deny him, knowing he needed the same thing from me as I'd needed from him when I told him about Nathan. Proof that the desire was still there. That as ugly as the scars of our pasts were, they didn't affect what we were to each other now. But I couldn't give him that. Not yet. I felt too raw and vulnerable.
Just hold me, Gideon.
Please? He nodded, wrapping his arms around me. I urged him to sink to the floor with me, hoping I could get him to fall asleep. I curled into his side, my leg thrown over his, my arm draped over his hard stomach. He squeezed me gently, pressing his lips to my forehead, whispering over and over again how sorry he was.
Don't leave me,
I whispered.
Stay.
Gideon didn't answer, didn't make any promises. But he didn't let me go, either. I woke some time later, hearing Gideon's heart beating steadily beneath my ear. All the lights were still on, and the carpeted floor was hard and uncomfortable. Gideon lay on his back, his beautiful face youthful in sleep. His shirt lifted just enough to expose his navel and the ripped muscles of his abdomen. This was the man I loved. This was the man whose body gave me such pleasure, whose thoughtfulness moved me over and over again. He was still here, and from the frown that marred the space between his brows, he was still hurting. I slid my hand into his sweatpants. For the first time since we'd been together, he wasn't hot steel in my palms, but he quickly swelled and thickened as I tentatively stroked him from root to tip.
Fear lingered just beneath my arousal. But I was more afraid of losing him than of living with the demons inside him. He stirred, his arm tightening around my back.
Ava?
This time I answered him the way I couldn't before.
Let's forget, I breathed into his mouth.
Make us forget.
Ava.
He rolled into me, peeling my shirt off with cautious movements. I was similarly tentative in undressing him. We approached each other as if each of us were breakable. The bond between us was fragile just then, both of us apprehensive about the future, and the wounds we could inflict with all of our jagged edges. His lips wrapped around my nipple, his cheeks hollowing slowly, his seduction subdued. The tender suckling felt so good I gasped and arched into his hand. He caressed my side from breast to hip and back again, over and over, gentling me as my heart raced wildly. He kissed across my chest to the other breast, murmuring words of apology and need in a voice broken by regret and misery. His tongue lapped at the hardened point, worrying it, before surrounding it with wet heat and suction.
Gideon.
The delicate pulls expertly coaxed desire through my skittish mind. My body was already lost in him, greedily seeking the pleasure and beauty of his.
Don't be afraid of me, he whispered. Don't pull away.
He kissed my navel, and then moved lower, his hair caressing my stomach as he settled between my legs. He held me open with shaking hands and nuzzled my clit. His light, teasing licks through my cleft and the fluttering dips into my trembling sex took me to the edge of insanity. My back bowed. Hoarse pleas left my lips. Tension spread through my body, tightening everything until I felt like I might snap under the pressure. And then he pushed me into orgasm, with the softest nudge of the tip of his tongue. I cried out, heated relief pulsing through my writhing body.
I can't let you go, Ava.
Gideon levered over me as I vibrated with pleasure.
I can't.
Brushing away the tear tracks from his face, I stared into his reddened eyes. His torment was painful for me to witness, hurting my heart.
I wouldn't let you if you tried.
He took himself in hand and fed his cock slowly, carefully into me. My head pressed hard into the floor as he sank deeper, possessing my body one thick inch at a time. When I'd taken all of him, he began to move in measured, deliberate thrusts. I closed my eyes and focused on the connection between us. Then he settled onto me. His stomach pressed to mine and my pulse leaped with panic. Abruptly frightened, I hesitated.
Look at me, Ava.
His voice was so hoarse, it was unrecognizable. I did, and saw his anguish.
Make love to me,
he begged, in a breathless whisper.
Make love with me.
Touch me, angel. Put your hands on me.
Yes. My palms pressed flat to his back, then stroked over the quivering muscles to his ass. Squeezing the hard, flexing flesh, I urged him to move faster, plunge deeper. The rhythmic strokes of his heavy cock through the clenching depths of my sex pushed ecstasy through me in heated waves. He felt so good. My legs wrapped around his plunging hips, my breath quickening as the cold knot inside me began to melt. Our gazes held. Tears coursed down my temples.
I love you, Gideon.
Please.
His eyes squeezed shut.
I love you.
He lured me to orgasm with the skilled rolling of his hips, stirring his cock inside me. My sex clenched tightly, trying to hold him, trying to keep him deep in me.
Come, Ava,
he gasped against my throat. I struggled for it, struggled to get past the lingering apprehension that came from having him on top of me. The anxiety mingled with the desire, keeping me on edge. He made a hoarse sound filled with pain.